Amen. I want to share with you briefly, at least that clock is not moving, so thanks, Judah, for keeping the clock not moving. I can keep going on. I would like to share with you from the book of Luke chapter 4, and I will, as we go there, I would encourage us, keep praying for us, for those two projects, the building project and I strongly believe God is coming through for us, and he's going to do that. This is a faith project, and I can tell you we have seen God. That project alone for removing the concrete, the cotton soil and filling with the concrete is and building the floor is all going to be the same. It's costing $37,000. We have half of that by now. So God is coming through, and he's going to show up. Amen. So keep praying for us. Amen. If you would, this morning, I'm going to ask us to stand for the reading of God's word as we honor it. Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read a few verses from 16. If you would, I will read by the help of the Holy Spirit. And then as I close, I'll tell you the title of my message. How about that? Luke 4, 16. So he came to Nazareth, I'm reading from the New King James Version, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I think if you read that, Jesus has given us about six things about that he's anointed to do. 20 says, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Father, I pray as we come to hear your word this morning, anoint me for this purpose. Speak through me to your people this morning. I stand here not because I'm used to, but because I depend entirely on the power of the Spirit of God to speak through me to us this morning. Minister to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen. Amen. You may be seated. This scripture, we know it's right after Jesus has gone through the temptation in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it's interesting, and we all know this, he was led in the wilderness by the Lord to go to be tempted of the devil. And the devil tells him, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones to be bread." And Jesus gave the scripture answer. Then he takes him on top of, the devil played spiritual. He took him on top of a temple and tells him, "Oh, you can drop yourself down. The angels will hold you." But then he also takes him on top of a mountain and shows him all the beauty. When I read that, I remember when I first came to the States. It's the dream of every African young man to come to the States. And when you knock on that door, I tell people, a lot of us, when we go to Jomo Kenyatta International Airport to be seen off to come to the States, we hug our family. It's not like here. Here, one person drops you off at the airport and see ya. Back home, the whole clan takes you to the airport. The uncles and the cousins, and they cry and they hug you. And then when you get to where they can't come in, you wave. So I tell them, a lot of us not only wave the family, but they wave the country. See ya. I'm going to the land of opportunity. And that was me. When I waved to them, I said, "See ya." Because I'm done. I got the visa. That's the most important thing. You can go get all the sweet invitation letters, but the embassy puts a brake on you. What are you going to do in the United States? And say no. And they throw a pink paper and you can read it on your way. But anyway, they took Jesus on top and showed him, the devil showed him all the beauty. Oh, look this. If you can just bow before me, I'll hand all this to you. And you can imagine the temptation at that point. And it's coming after fasting. Most times, that's when you're vulnerable. But also, that's the most time you are sensitive to the spiritual things. And after that, Jesus, scripture says, so he came back, he came to Nazareth where he had brought up, he was brought up. And the scripture says, as his custom was, he went to church. We have a terrible Christian people today. People miss church for no good reason. Now, this is, if there is anybody I would imagine shouldn't go to church, was Jesus. He was Jesus. He was the bread of life. He was the Son of God. He was the I am. He was the beginning and the end. What? Why did he in church? But it says, as his custom was. That means Jesus went to church. Let me do like Kenyan way. Look at your neighbor, say, tell, go to church. In Kenya, we do that. Look at your neighbor, and if they don't go, they were like, Now, is it as his custom was? He went to the synagogue. I know church is you and I, but you know what I'm talking about. Right. Yeah. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Then he stood up to read. And the scroll was given to him. And this is what Jesus reads from the book of Isaiah. I believe it's 60. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Ghost is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Now, these days, there's a lot going on. What did the doctor say? Have you heard that lately? People are asking, what did the doctor say? When you have an accident, when you have a heart attack, when you have a stroke, when you have COVID, when you have flu, you go to the hospital. But when you come home, the first question everybody wants to know is, what did the doctor say? But I wish we can change that to, what did God say? Yeah. What has God said? But look at this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Jesus is going through what he was anointed to do, to preach the gospel to the poor. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman? He meets this lady in a well. She's so desperate. She is so lost. She is so hopeless. She's right there. At an hour in the middle of the day when the sun is too hot so that nobody shows up because of her lifestyle, and she wants to go to get water so that she can run home before people show up and say, that's the prostitute. Guess what? Jesus shows up at a very awkward hour and he meets her, woman, and she's like, whoa. And in their conversation, Jesus is saying, I know you. You've had 5 husbands. Ooh. And even the guy at home is not even your husband. Oh, you know everything. And guess what? Jesus didn't tell her, you are the devil. You are condemned. You can go to hell. No. Jesus reached out to her. And she even left her water pot. She ran into the city and she said, come and see a man who didn't care who I am. Come and see somebody who loved me the way I am. Come, come. We have a song back home about that lady. Come and see who the Lord is. She called people. She said, this guy doesn't care who you are. This guy doesn't even know what you did and what you didn't do. Some of us are scared to come to church for what we did last night. Yeah, yeah. Who cares? Yeah, yeah. So she went to the street and says, come on, come on. This guy told me everything. He even told me, it's not written, but I can imagine. He even told me I have had 5 husbands. And the 6th guy is not even home. And the guy is at the home waiting for me to take him water. She was an African woman. They got to work, fetch water in the river and bring it on their back for their husbands. I think she was African. And so she's fetching water. And Jesus says, even the guy in your bedroom is not your husband. Do you know we kick people like that out of the church? Jesus said, but guess what? I am the living water. I can help you handle that situation today. And she went to the streets, and I guess he was saying, come and see somebody who loved me for who I am. Come and see somebody who just embraced me. He didn't care what I've done. He didn't care what I have. He loved me. And Jesus is saying, I've been anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Look at the man at Bethesda. That's where we get Bethesda Pastors Fellowship, at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. The water was being stirred. And whoever, the scripture says, when the angel stirred the water, not every day, sometimes, whoever jumped in first got healed. This guy stayed there for 38 years. That is desperate. And when Jesus shows up, he doesn't even say, why are you not jumping? He said, do you want to be well? Are you getting me? And he said, I have no one. I guess Jesus told him, you don't need anyone. I'm here. I'm here, the answer. I'm the solution. And guess what? Jesus said, pick up your mat, walk. He walks home free and set free. And he's home. He's after 30 years of suffering. My friend, you don't have to live 38 years suffering. Run to Jesus. He's waiting for you to take care of your stuff. Yeah. You don't have to wait that long. Yeah. Don't listen to people. People have their own opinion. So Jesus is saying, I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Church is like a hospital. Do you know in the hospital, you find every kind of sickness, people in the hospice, people in ICU who are breathing on tubes. You see others who are about to be discharged. You see others who just got in here. You just see others who have lost their limb. Others have their legs, tied up because they had an accident. Everybody. And every time we go to visit them in the hospital, we always ask them, what did the doctor say? So I come this morning to ask you, Cornerstone, what did God say about your situation? What has God said about what you are facing right now? What is God saying? Leave alone the doctor. The doctor diagnosed it. But what is God saying? And that's where we fail. Because man doesn't have the final answer. God has the final say. We have a song back home. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. It's God who has the final say to your life, to your situation, to your family, to your sickness. God has the final say. So Jesus is saying, I'm anointed to do all these 6 things. Preach the gospel to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. We have them. We are struggling even in Kenya with people with mental health. They are surrounding us in church today. What are we doing with them? People are going through tough times. And the only place they need to come, I've had people come. We had a guy come to Disciples Temple, Rastafarian, with his long hair, with that hat that is yellow, blue, green, you know, Rastafarian. He sits at the back and he calls me, Bishop, can I come to church and please let me wear my hat and with my rust? I said, sure, come on. He comes in, he would not ever want to stay in the middle or in the front. He always sat at the back because after church, you wouldn't even see him to say hi. He gone. But the good thing is he came to church. And for several Sundays, he showed up, sat at the back. One day, I'm driving in town, Nairobi, and I park the car, and I'm walking on the streets, and this guy comes smiling, and he's shaking me, "Hi, Bishop," and I look at him, I can't recognize him. He says, "Bishop, it's so-and-so." I say, "What?" "Yeah, I just cut my hair yesterday. I gave my life to Jesus." We didn't have to tell him to do it. No! This is where the church is, where we're supposed to come and heal the brokenhearted. But they get hurt all the more. You know, when I stay at Harvest, there's a house there. I haven't stayed there this time much. But at the Harvest House, I would drive around the neighborhood and just talk to people. And a couple of years ago, I was driving, knocking on people's doors. And it's scary, especially in this country. You people are so individualistic. Back home, I can talk to you anywhere. But I understand it's the culture. But me, I'm a crazy bishop from Kenya. So I got to do what I do. So I drive and knock on the door. Sometimes they open. Jeff, they open. Sometimes they don't. So I go to this house a couple years ago. I can see through a glass door a man and a woman seated watching television. And I knock. They can't even turn to look who is here. They're glued to the television. And I can see the commercials. You have very crazy commercials here. I laugh all the time. They come. They don't. I press the bell. They don't turn. And I want to leave. And you know that still small voices keep knocking the door. And I'm feeling stupid. I'm scared because I don't know whether this guy will pick the gun and boom. He's Chocolate Man. What are you doing here? So I kept knocking. And I want to leave. I think a few times I wanted to leave, and the voice said, "Keep knocking that door." So this last time, I'm scared. I'm feeling funny and stupid. And I hit the door so hard, pressed the bell, and this guy woke up, and I'm thinking, do I take off, jump in the car, and drive off? And then I say, "You know what? Whatever." So he comes and he opens the door a little bit and says, "What do you want?" I say, "My name is Reuben." I didn't even say I come from Kenya because I was scared. I come from Africa. Africa is 50 countries, my friend. I come from Africa and I bring good news to you. He broke down, cried, and let the door open. And I remember him going crying. He said, "Honey, come on. God just sent us an angel." I said, "Whoa, I'm Reuben from Kenya. I'm not an angel." And you know what he said? He said, "Honey, this is an angel. I was planning to commit suicide today. And I didn't even tell my wife. God sent you here. I prayed for them. They got saved. And we sat down and began to fellowship. I began to repent for wanting to take off. Those few times I wanted to take off because they couldn't turn." Sometimes it requires persistence for God to do a miracle. Some of us give up so quickly. Oh, forget it. You know, it's like the scripture is saying Jesus was his custom to go to church. Let me give an example, because if I say an example from Kenya, you won't understand. Let me think an American. Yeah, this one. You call someone, they didn't show up to church. You say, "Hey, you didn't come to church." And they go, "Hey, I was so tired." Oh, and then he go, "You know, I watched this movie until very late. And I'm so tired. You need to watch that movie." I will not. A movie made you sleep late and not come to church? Mercy. God have mercy. It should be your custom, like Jesus, to go to church. Ouch. So he said, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. We have people in church today that are going through tough times. That if we don't reach out to them, it's done. I want to finish this. Look at what he did. After he said what he's anointed for, the scripture says he closed the book and gave back to the attendant and sat down. I did this on purpose, Jeff. Can you give me that Bible? I'll use you politely, humbly. This is the attendant. He gave Jesus the book and he went back to sit. And Jesus opened the book. He read Luke 4, Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then when he finished, he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant. And Jesus sat down. And guess what? Just as all of you are looking at me, they looked at Jesus. What is this guy doing? He should be there preaching from what he's just read. And the Bible says, he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled. You know what Jesus was saying? I have done that. Now the book is in your hands. The responsibility I just read is in your hands. What I just said about preaching the poor, healing the brokenhearted, I did it. I healed the woman of Samaria. I healed blind Bartimaeus. This guy didn't want to care what people say. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people say, shut up. He said, I don't care. He's got my answer. Jesus now is saying, the responsibility is in your hands. Healing the sick is in your hands. Reaching the lost is in your hands. Touching lost lives and hopeless lives is in your hands. What you do with that will give an answer on the judgment day. So I came this morning to simply tell you the book is in your hands. The responsibility is in your hands. You can give all the excuses you can. You can tell me the Greek and the Hebrew doesn't say that. But listen to me. He handed over the book to the attendant. Some translations say to the preacher. Others say to the priest. Guess who you are? You're the priest. A royal priesthood. All of us here. Leave alone the title bishop. We are all priests of God. And the book is in your hands. The responsibility is in your hands. Preaching this gospel has nothing to do with what you don't have and what you have. It has all to do with, are you going to be obedient to do what God has called you to do? Are you going to give what he has entrusted to you? God says we have a mandate to reach the lost at any cost. Today, when I sat down with that family, that couple, it's an older couple, after we prayed with them, they told me how they were wounded and hurt in church. It's because I asked, do you go to church? We're offended. Oh my goodness. I think if we lived on offense, I would not be here today. I would have packed my luggage and gone. Yeah. I'm offended every day. Not by sinners, but saints. Yeah. Saints. Yeah. Right? They look at you, how you dressed, how did you even come to church, how you like, all these things. Look at Jesus. When we take people, I see a lot of, we use a lot of motorbikes back home for transportation now. There are so many of them. We call them border border. But there's almost every hospital in Kenya has a particular ward for motorbike accident people. Because they have broken legs, broken limbs, you name it. So they put them screaming. You can walk in the hospital and hear the scream, and you will definitely know the screaming is either in a maternity ward or in the border or motorbike room. Because their legs, some of them lost their leg. We had a pastor with Disciples Temple, one in Nairobi, Mark. He had he was being carried by a motorbike, some going somewhere. A vehicle hit them, and he was dashed inside another matatu. Matatu is the public transportation. Under God's grace, the driver steps on the brake. We knew they thought he was dead. He came. He's still limping today. He stayed in the hospital, I think, 4 months with a broken leg. So you stay there. He said, you come, he said, everybody is taken to the hospital. And every time we went to visit Pastor Mark, we said, what did the doctor say? He said, they'll take me back on Monday, they'll take me back to theater for another operation. They said, then after that, we said, what did they say? They still need in 2 weeks to take me back to theater for another operation. What did the doctor say? And what did the doctor say? Can we believe God to ask, what did God say? What is God saying? What is God saying about this situation? He's saying, I'm being anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus did it. The responsibility right now is in our hands. Nobody in this house has an excuse for not serving God. Nobody. It's in your hands. And many times we want to give excuses as to why we should not. If Jesus went to church, I guess I should. If he read this Bible, then I need to read it. Right? So, please don't be offended. It's the Bible. He handed it back and he sat down. And he simply said, it's fulfilled. You know what he was meaning? That's what I've just read. It's in your hands now. Do it. I'm going to the Father. When he comes back again, he's coming to reward each one according to what you did with the gift God gave you. I want to stand there as I close. I don't want to stand on that day. I get scared when I read Paul's letter to the Corinthians when he says, and every man's work will be tested. Whew. Through the fire. We walk through the fire. Why did you do what you did? It goes through the fire. Bishop Reuben, why did you preach? Why did you go to the States to preach? Why did you start Disciples Temple? That work will be tested. Why do you go to Turkana to give those kids food and clothing? That work will be tested. But if you did it for his glory, it will be like gold. You come out. But if it was for your own, it will be burned. It will be consumed because you did it for you. I don't want to do nothing. I told you at the beginning when I came to the States, I said goodbye not only to my family, but to Kenya. But while I was here, God spoke to me. He said, go back and do the work of the ministry. I didn't like that voice. I fought it for months. But I knew if I didn't do that, I would have lived here, yes, but very frustrated. There are a lot of people today succeeding doing the wrong thing. Amen. Yeah. You are successful, but doing the wrong thing because we are out of the will of God. Would you stand with me in this house? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Our Father, you reminded us today that the responsibility is in our hands. Reaching out, touching lives, embracing those who are wounded and hurting, hugging those who feel lost and hopeless, that responsibility is in our hands. And so I pray that each one of us will take this challenge home and we will say, I will do it. I will accomplish the will of my Father. I will do what is called me to do. Forgive us where we have given excuses, because the flesh sometimes wants to give excuses why we shouldn't serve God. But we pray that we'll be anointed enough to go beyond what the flesh tells us to do, because the flesh is warring war against the spirit. And so I pray that we will choose to feed the inner man, so that by the end of it all, Father, we will be people that will honor and glorify you. May our lives honor you. May our service to you glorify you. May we live to honor you with all that we do. And I pray in this Sunday, even as we prepare to leave to go home, this week we will not forget that the book is in our hands. The responsibility is in our hands. The task is with us. What we do with it, we will give an answer on that day. We will give an account of what we did with what we received on that day. Help us not to slumber, so that when the bride shows up, when the bridegroom shows up, he will not find the bride asleep. Lord, awake us as the sleeping bride, so when you come back, we'll be people that are prepared for the master. We will have our lamps with enough oil. We will have our lamps lighting and ready to receive the master when he shows up. Lord, I ask you today that you help me. You help each one of us never to forget the responsibility is in our hands. And you went back to the Father. And when you come out back again, you'll be coming to reward everyone according to what they did with what they received. Thank you for us. Help us, Lord. Help us to do it. As we especially see the day of Christ drawing near, help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.